Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is directly across from
me. I'm not speaking to you.
He's a conservative. He's the mayor of Shamokin Dam. He still helps the Bar Association's evaluation of judicial candidates, helps do a lot of the deep research, and does an interview with the individuals who are running for elected judgeships in Pennsylvania. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer, and I think that's the cast of characters. I'm Mark Lawrence. Did I say that? Subpar
performer.
I'm still
not talking to you.
Very bad PD. What else?
Former Citizen of the Year.
I think you keep it.
Oh, do you? Then you are a citizen of the
Just year. Like you are a Hall of Fame broadcaster. Thanks
Pennsylvania,
to the,
not nationally.
Well, but you know, globally, I'd say you're the best.
Oh, gee, thank you. Is that required in your contract that you have to say something nice about me?
No, can you imagine if you could somehow summarize it, the impact you've had on broadcasting over the decades.
Oh, come on.
You know, like
thank you. You're very kind.
Super manager. And
got
super,
nothing to do with this program this morning.
Super statewide PAB input person and...
I headed the PAB for several years.
And imagine the when WKOK is different today because Joe McGranahan was manager here for 30 years. And I'll tell you what the big difference is.
I don't know.
Well, your impact that you've had here.
Hey, we've had a lot of great people. We have great management now. We had great management in the past.
No. But Joe McGranahan had one idea in particular that stuck, and we still do it today.
What's that? The one idea I had. I'm trying to remember.
One idea. All right. Never mind. This is not working out. You're too humble. All right. Yeah. Joe's a super. He's been a super. He's a legacy broadcaster if there ever was one. So, all right. So,
you know what a legacy is? A pain in the butt that won't go away.
Yeah. That's right. Eric doesn't know enough to retire.
Won't quit.
Did you ever hear about that? Now, this doesn't happen around here. Fortunately, everybody around here sticks around a long time. But did you ever find out people that have somebody that won't retirement that should, you know, in an office or something like that?
Oh, yes.
That has happened.
Has indeed.
So next you're going to click on SMS Campaign Manager.
Right. I'm well aware of that.
I don't think you are.
No, I'm not.
Joe is the...
Learning
the text. All right.
The old dog is trying to learn a new trick.
All right. And that gives me a perfect opportunity to interview the real portion of the show without frivolity on the Mark sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our telephone number is open, 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM in your text message. I wish to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915. Two locations, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the main dealership on 4th Street in Sunbury down at the North 4th Street Plaza. But they have another address that can lead you to all kinds of savings, and that is sunburymotors.com. You can check out their online specials, build a Ford, Hyundai, or Kia to your precise specifications, or you can do the same thing down at the North 4th Street location or the Kia dealership. Bring in a Ford, Hyundai, or Kia that is exactly what you want in a vehicle. Maybe you want a Telluride that has the long sunroof from front to back, or maybe you do not want to have a sunroof on the vehicle at all, but you can order one up with your precise specifications. I'm going to order up a Hyundai Veloster before I retire that will have two engines in it and a long sunroof and extra big tires and a little more clearance. But you can order a Ford, too, F-150, 250, 350, all the way up to 650 with the double axle and the big dump body already on it. That would be a vehicle Chicago that has got Joe McGranahan, Shemokin to him, written all over it. But please go to sunburymotors.com or visit the Sunbury Motor Company, Quick Lane on North 4th Street. They would just love to super serve you in a manner that they have perfected literally over the centuries, and that's taking good care of their customers. How'd you make out?
Not well, but in any event, we have an issue that's surfaced again, and that is another birth control issue with dueling opinions from federal judges over whether or not the abortion pill.
Right, a misoprostol.
Right, whether or not that should be permitted. We have one judge in Texas saying that the FDA made a mistake, and we have one judge in, I forget where, but saying, no, let it happen, let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems to me that people who object to abortion always object to the procedure. They always have all these horrible stories about the procedure. But here we have a drug that apparently is effective, mm-hmm. Not harmful. Harmful, of course, to the fetus. Absolutely devastating to the fetus, I guess.
But not to the mother.
But not to the mother. And it doesn't involve a ghastly procedure. So I wonder if there are people who maybe say, I'm opposed to abortion, but if I had my choice, I would rather have the pill than the procedure. What do you think?
Well, it was funny because yesterday I was listening to Senator Lindsey Graham was on Meet the Press, and they really pressed him on this idea of, you know, what is a compromise? Well, it's his bill in the Senate that is this 15-week abortion ban, you know, for the nation as a whole. You know, he says he's 100% pro-life, but since he is not the king of the nation, he doesn't get to impose that on everybody else, but says 15 weeks would be okay.
Is there a limit on the pill when you can take this pill? Is there a time limit?
I do not know.
Isn't I don't either. That's
question?
Why I was curious.
I know that it is meant to be used very early on, as soon as a woman learns she is pregnant. So,
but how does that differ from the morning after pill?
I could not tell you that either.
Here we are, two uninformed men arguing about women's issues.
I do know the morning pill prevents a fertilized egg from grasping onto the fallopian tubes of the uterus.
So that's really not an abortion, is it?
Well, if the egg is fertilized, I think a purist would say that is the beginning of a human being. You know, it's certainly not very far along, days or maybe even hours along, but if it prevents it from... if you take a method of preventing it from grasping onto the wall of the fallopian tube of the uterus, then that is abortive, you could say.
Well, we have a call coming in. That's exciting.
All right. So that's happening. But, this is an interesting pickle because I think they judge shopped down to Texas and filed the case there because they had an ultra-pro-life Republican judge that was there. And then an ultra-Democrat appellate court judge overturned things. You know, and this is what I talked about. I really don't ever add very much wisdom to this, but I think one thing that is important that I do say is that lack of confidence in our judicial system is very disheartening for the whole nation. If you can't trust the courts because
why don't you trust them? Let me ask you that.
Well, because they're political. You know, we have in Pennsylvania, we have a Republican-leaning Commonwealth Court. In Pennsylvania, we have a Democratic-leaning State Supreme Court. Well, where is the law in there?
Well, wait a second.
There?
Is it the courts that are leaning or the judges who are leaning?
Well, the judges, yes.
Okay, so people elect the judges. Why? Because they tend to believe that they agree with them philosophically.
Right, because they have an R or a D next to their name on the ballot.
And that does make the whole process political. It's political anyway. Who appoints the Supreme Court judges? Presidents of the United States. And are they political or not? Last time I looked, they were about as partisan politically as they come. So
right.
Why are we faulting the courts for being political when the entire process is a political process?
All right, of course, we can talk about this, the abortion misoprostol pill that is probably going to go right to the Supreme Court. Can the Supreme Court seize a case and say, let us decide this now because it's such a big issue?
I don't think so. They have to have a case.
Right,
something overturned, something brought before them.
All right.
I don't know. I mean, if there's a lower court decision, that they don't like, I guess they could take it up.
Right. So, well,
find some way to take it up.
Well, it will end up in front of them one way or another. I certainly would think that would be possible in this particular case. So, okay, so we can talk about that. President Trump, I'm sure, is in the news. He's been indicted, but that's not really new news around here. And there certainly are other points. Senator Casey, a lot of folks are going to be happy. He's running for re-election, so that would help probably help secure the a D in that Senate seat. Some folks like me would probably like to see if we could have one R and one D coming from Pennsylvania in terms of U.S. Senate. I think that'd be pretty representative of the state as the whole, but that's not how seats work. All right. So, folks, call us now, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM.
The answer to the question is up to 49 days after gestation.
Is for the misoprostol.
Right.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. All right, Stan, you're on the mark.
Good morning. That judge in Texas wasn't necessarily wrong. Now I'm going to ask a question because I don't know the answer. Maybe you do, maybe you don't.
I do.
The judge ruled that the FDA, was it the FDA? They're the ones that determine what drugs can be done. Okay.
You are correct.
Okay. They made it an over-the-counter medicine, correct? This whatever it is. I can't pronounce it, so I won't even try. The abortion pill.
Right.
Okay. Did he, with his ruling, remove it from doctors' care use?
Yes.
No prescription from a doctor?
Yes.
Was it removed from that?
Yes. It eliminated the... It said that the initial approval 20 years ago was not thorough enough.
Was it thorough enough? Okay. All right. So, well, then they'll have to fight it out. I mean, if it's been in use by doctors' care... See, there's a difference between doctor's care and over-the-counter. Now, what I heard a guy, a doctor, in an interview saying that the drug, it works, does what they want it to do, which is kill a baby, okay? But the problem is the after effects if things aren't cleared out the way they need to be because you're in an abortion. So if everything doesn't clear itself out, without being too graphic, there could be problems for the woman, okay? So under the doctor's care, if it's prescribed, the doctor has a little, I guess, can keep an observation, you know, takes care of the woman because she's under doctor's care. Whereas if you just get it in the mail, take it, and it does its thing, and things aren't all removed as they should be, the woman could become infected, and if she doesn't realize it right away, it endangers her life. So...
How rare is that, Stan? How often does that happen?
Is one time too many?
Well, not necessarily.
Well,
it depends
on the woman.
Okay. So one time isn't enough for it to be bad. I mean, I'm just saying.
I ask you how rare it was.
That's what we hear all the time. If we can just save one life, right?
Right. But you just said it doesn't always lead to death. You said it could.
A lot of things
could lead to death.
And it has because, did you listen to what I said? I said if stuff doesn't remove itself the way it's supposed to, there is the chance
right.
of infection.
And
but
I
under
ask
doctor's
you,
care, that could be mitigated. So that's
I
what I'm going to leave it at.
I ask
now,
you how rare that was, and you don't know.
I don't know, just like nobody else does until it happens. But it can happen. That's
right.
all I'm putting out there because it can happen.
Right. So that might change.
Do you want to be a harm women because of a pill that she's taking when she's not under doctor's care? Because an abortion, basically, they're causing a miscarriage. Now, if a woman has a miscarriage, generally she ends up seeing a doctor. Correct.
I would think
right. in most cases you probably wouldn't have to.
But with this case, the doctor may never know what's going on with the woman, that she got pregnant and she decided she didn't want to have the baby.
So are you arguing, or not arguing, are you indicating that...
I'm not arguing either way.
Right.
I'm just saying, was the judge wrong? Maybe. If he took it out completely instead of just being no mail order or no mm-hmm. over-the-counter...
Right.
See, that's where I want to stop it.
Right.
Go over the counter, keep it in doctor's hands.
Right.
Now the states can determine what's allowed in the states, because that's the way the 10th Amendment of the Constitution works. I know the people that are pro-abort don't like that, but that's the way it is. Well, so they have the states where it's legal and where it's not necessarily as legal.
Yeah, while you were talking, I looked up the issue of how often there are complications here. That's less than 1% if taken up to 10 weeks of gestation. Less than 1%.
But still, it could be prevented with
Joe,
the doctor's care.
What's the maximum amount of time that it can be taken up till?
Within 10 weeks of gestation. It can be taken up to 49 days. So that's what?
7 weeks.
7 weeks, yeah.
Work
7 to 10 weeks.
Not 7 to 10, just 7.
No, it's less than, if it's taken up to 10 weeks, it's less than 1% chance of a problem.
I gotcha.
Okay, all right. Well, only time will tell. You know, they'll fight it out in court, and I don't have anything in the fight. So I'm just throwing that out there. People can make their decision the way they will. I know what they're saying. The left's saying, oh, this guy needs to be impeached, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Okay? Whatever.
Yeah, Olivia Ocasio-Cortez is just having a real meltdown over this.
I saw that.
Well, she has a meltdown about other stupid stuff, too. Remember, she's the one that told us the world was going to end in 10 years, 15 years ago. Right?
She was? She wasn't even around.
Well, you're right. Okay, I'm wrong. She says it was going to end in, I don't know, 10 years. And whatever, but we've been told that the world's going to end in 10 years for the past 20, 30, 40 years.
I think you're mixing her up with Al Gore. He's been predicting the end of the civilization for some time now.
They're all the same breed, okay? They all want to lie and tell us this crap, so whatever. Now I have a question for you, Joe.
Well, we have another caller, right. So a real brisk one, I guess.
All right, just you can look it up, and I seen at the Walter Reed Hospital. Terminated Catholic pastoral services for the people, you know, the soldiers in the hospital. The Holy Name College Friary out of Maryland. They're out of, and they've had this service for almost 20 years. They've been doing that. I guess they're contracted in there. So they had a secular defense contractor got the gig now, but they were kicked out at the end of March. Basically, they were given a cease and desist order. Don't know what the contract was. My question is, can a non-Catholic priest minister the needs of a Catholic parishioner?
Well, first of all, if they're non-Catholic, they probably aren't a priest unless they're, what, Episcopalian? I think they have priests.
Well, I don't know. What I'm saying is the Catholic services, the friary, which they had monks, they were Catholic. Their services were terminated with Walter Reed.
Why?
We got to hit the road. Excellent question, Stan.
That's the question. So I don't know. They said, I guess they decided they didn't want Catholics in there. They went to a non-secular defense contractor to take care of that duty.
They didn't want the great whore of Babylon hanging around.
Oh, here we go. Oh, Mike, thank you. Had to bring that up.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
No, I don't know the answer.
You're in the Catholic faith. You would have a little more insight on that than I do.
I looked
it up on the Catholic news feed. I looked it up, and it didn't really give a reason.
Thank you, sir.
I'll look it up.
Y'all have a great day.
You too.
Yeah, you too, buddy. Thank you. All righty. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Van from New Columbia, you are on the mark.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Hanging in there. How about
fabulous.
You, buddy?
Good to hear from you again.
Good. Hey, a question about this pill. Are they calling this an abortion pill, or what are they calling this?
I think people call it the abortion pill. I don't. They're calling it by its name, misoprostol and misoprostol.
I think I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. There's another name for it. It's like an abortive fascist scent or something.
What? But
they have a fancy name for it.
The little bit I read, it said about the pill being to end unwanted pregnancies. And herein lies the problem I have with this. Number one, if it wants to stop unwanted pregnancies or to end unwanted pregnancies, the way to do that is to have birth control prior to getting pregnant. And there's so much stuff out there for birth control, it blows my mind that isn't what's used. But this abortion pill, which is, that's exactly what it is, because you were questioning statistically how women were affected. Well, it's 100% that the babies are killed by this. So it's 100% fatal for the baby. And the whole premise that the women's health issue, that it's a woman's right to do this, or however they want to come at it from that angle, that baby inside of them, 100%, this is science, so if you believe in science, that baby inside that woman has a DNA completely separate from the mother. So it's a unique individual inside the womb.
I agree with you up to the point, but then, you know, this really isn't a baby at up to 4 or 5 days afterwards.
Yeah, baby is not the perfect word, but it is a human.
It is an embryo, even an embryo at that point? Or is it a zygote?
Okay, you can call it whatever, a zygote, embryo, whatever you want.
But it's a baby.
The fact is, at the end of it all, it's going to be, if it goes full term and it's delivered, it's a baby. So it isn't like evolution wants to teach that, well, this is like the zygote's like, you know, a tadpole, and then it develops into something that looks like a pig embryo and on and on. No, it's human DNA inside of that, and when the sperm and that egg come together, it's one of the most miraculous things that we know of, the conception of life. It is life. If they would find something that had life that was equivalent to a zygote or an embryo on another planet, and someone would take and they would just immediately extinguish that life, the people would have a fit and they'd say, you killed that. You killed it.
Right, absolutely. Well, and I think, you know, you're right. There's 100 forms of birth control out there. Of course, abstinence is one of them, but and then men and women both have opportunities for birth control and, you know.
Do you think, let me ask you a question, do you think having the availability of a birth control pill or a morning after pill leads people to not use the contraceptives available to them, figuring they can solve the problem, if you will, later?
I have no idea. I know human nature, and I know our whole culture has become so depraved now that it's so sexualized with everything. And we can get into the LGBTQ thing, but our country has become so perverted. And you have now, I know young people that they have, you know, friends that they're friends with benefits, they call it, where they're friends and they just have sex together just to have sex together. So the answer is if they don't want to have children, then there ought to be birth control prior to getting pregnant. That's in my estimation. Why is it necessary to have a pill morning after? Why don't you take one before? They make them for before, because the whole thing of it is they want to kill a life if it's conceived.
Well, women have reproductive freedom, and that's the way that they want it in the U.S. I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that women want to be able to choose when they have children and how and what form of birth control and what form of abortion they choose. They want to have that choice. So that's what
there's
courts,
a man involved in this process,
right,
somewhere,
the courts,
too.
Well, you could certainly make that argument, too. But women are the choosers. And the deciders of this thing.
Scientific fact.
Right. Yeah. No. I'm. I don't have an argument with it. That would be a pointless, fruitless. Although you could.
But I find, you know, I understand where you're coming from, Van. But isn't there a distinction between aborting something? I mean, if I aborted something that I couldn't see that was almost microscopic, I wouldn't feel as bad as if it was something that was approaching viability.
Yeah, that's very true. And here's the reason I agree with you there is there was a lady that she worked in an abortion clinic for years, matter of fact, for several decades. And then she participated in her first, you know, third trimester abortion. And as one of her job for her after that was to take all the baby parts and put them back together to make sure they had every part removed. And when she saw that, she just freaked out and ran out of that abortion clinic. And for the first time in her life, she realized that she was participating in killing babies. So, yes, it is less offensive if you just have a little, you know, zygote or embryo or whatever you want to term you want to put with it, and you pull it out and it doesn't really look human. But when that little baby develops, and it isn't very long till it starts to take the shape of a baby, and it'll actually in the womb suck its thumb, and it'll kick and everything else at a very, very young, you know, age inside the womb. But people want to try to lessen the shock of killing a baby and say, well, it's not really a baby. Well, the fact of the matter is, it is a baby. And as much as people want to say it isn't, scientifically, as soon as that conception takes place, there is life there.
Yep.
You
well,
hear
good
that,
points,
Van.
Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate hearing from you. Take care, sir.
Bye.
Appreciate the call. Yep. All right. We have an open phone for the 9 a.m. hour, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings, welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe.
I'm here, man.
He's across from me. He is a good...
whatever.
Republican. Natural-born listener, though. Would you call yourself a moderate Republican?
Well, people have called me a rhino in this show, so maybe I'm
a
rhino.
Some people think of... I'll call you a moderate, but you have...
I'm a conservative, but not a far-right conservative.
And you have a mind of your own.
Well, don't we all?
Well, no, I don't
no,
know
I follow,
about that.
I follow my leader. I follow the orange idiot. Wherever he goes, I go.
Well,
that's
I,
what people seem to think of anybody who has a kind word to say about Donald Trump.
I follow my President Biden wherever he goes.
Well, that's your following senility.
I'm wandering aimlessly on the stage.
Shaking hands with non-existent
with my
people.
Right hand extended to anybody. Yeah, we got to get a real president in there next time. All right. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. They're going to disavow this program, so what's going to happen? Our telephone, 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. That's 570-743-WKOK. We had a vibrant conversation about Miss Pris Stone in the first part of our show. We can talk about that or maybe some of the elements that are coming up in the news.
She made it sound like an Italian lady, Miss Pris Stone.
Miss Pris Stone done a wonderful job. Okay, but yeah, women's choice and an abortion pill. And so we can discuss that or maybe something else. Of course, I always layered on top of that. Do you have confidence in the courts? If one judge does one thing, a conservative judge does one thing, and a liberal appellate court judge overturns it, you know, where is... I think, you know, I don't know much about anything, but I've always thought this lack of confidence in the judicial system and lack of confidence in the election system are... If I say we're in trouble, that's what I'm going to use as our evidence.
As someone said about Olivia Ocasio-Cortez, courts are great as long as they agree with you. But the minute they disagree with you, they're awful. Throw them out. These judges are nothing but political hacks.
That's exactly right. We have an onerous, terrible U.S. Supreme Court.
They disagreed with me. Oh, my heavens, let's throw the courts out. Get rid of them.
A terrible, onerous U.S. Supreme Court, and it's being guided by an ethically challenged now, Judge Clarence Thomas.
Why? And now Olivia Ocasio-Cortez is ramping up her call to impeach Clarence Thomas.
Oh, good. Okay. So
I think we ought to impeach her, to be honest with you.
All right. So back to the open phone, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 702-336, include the keyword OTM. We do have some brief news headlines here. Associated Press reporting today that Democratic U.S. Senator Bob Casey said in a tweet today he will seek a fourth term in office. He says that'll bring the power of incumbency and his name recognition back to Pennsylvania politics. The announcement by Senator Casey, the longest-serving Democratic U.S. Senator in Pennsylvania history, should help give him a boost before the 2024 election campaign gets underway. Already, several Republicans have talked about running for that office, including Dave McCormick, who ran the unsuccessful gubernatorial campaign, although AP says...
No, senatorial, wasn't it?
And he ran... Oh, yeah, Senate. Right. You're right. Yeah. Thank you. And
I'm here to help you.
Some people AP says he ran the failed campaign. But I don't think if you run for office and do not win, it's a failed campaign. You successfully ran for office. You'd had a good campaign.
But you failed to win the office.
Well, you didn't win, but, you know, the voters choose that, not you. I don't think he had a failed campaign.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're making a distinction between the campaign and the result.
Exactly. And plus, participating in democracy and not winning isn't a failure.
I agree with you. Standing up for your beliefs is always good.
There you go. Thank you. I can always rely on you to say what I mean.
What Mark should have said.
All right. Anyway, Senator Casey turns 63 in a few days. Of course, he fully supports President Biden. Let's see. We talked about over the weekend, this was a story that was shared massively on our social pages. People are becoming aggressive in the emergency department at Geisinger, in part because of long wait times and impatience, or maybe they feel others are going ahead of them. Lack of fairness, I guess, because of that. Dr. Michael Fitzpatrick, an ER doctor and the Associate Chief Medical Officer at Geisinger, says you and I can reduce the wait time a little bit.
Ask questions. You're entitled to answers. But if you do simple things like knowing your medications and asking for pain medication when you need it and being cordial, and that really helps us out.
Geisinger says it's in the planning stages of expanding its emergency department in Danville. There are some traffic delays expected this week. An overhead sign will be installed on the brand new CSVT River Bridge. They're going to be installing the Joseph McGranahan Memorial sign above motorists. I was even thinking that before he said it, that I shouldn't say memorial. It would just be the Joe McGranahan.
I was wishful thinking on your part.
No,
I know.
No. All right. Anyway, meantime, night paving starts this week on Route 15 as well. And the Pentagon says it is continuing to review and assess the validity of images posted on social media sites that appear to show documents containing sensitive and highly classified material. The pictured documents seem to detail U.S. and NATO aid to Ukraine. They could also be altered or used as part of a misinformation campaign, says CBS News military consultant and retired U.S. Army Colonel Jeff McCausland. He says Russia has a long history of putting fake information online. We'll get to Jeff's comments a little bit later on. We've got callers waiting. And the Easter egg roll is today. Joe, when was the first one?
The first Easter egg roll?
Yep.
You got me.
1878.
Who decided to do that?
Well, who was the president in 1878?
You tell me.
I would never know this if it weren't written in front of me.
1878, it wouldn't have been Grant. It would have been, let me think about that.
Okay, you think about that, but don't look it up.
I won't look it up.
Bobby D., you're on the mark.
Yes, good morning, everyone. As far as the issue of when a life becomes a life, I was raised, by Geisinger Nurse. I mean, been around women, so to speak. And of course, my mom, one of the things my mom told me years ago was, okay, as long as a woman is having her monthly period, she may or may not know that she's pregnant. And in her case, as a nurse, she ran across one case that the woman went through like almost 8 months before she figured out she was pregnant. So I think you have to actually look into every case.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, this is it's a subtle thing. All right, we got you, Bob. Thanks for calling in.
You.
All right, next up, Lance. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Rutherford Hayes.
Hey.
No.
Yeah, fine.
No?
Fine. Bright morning it is. Well, anyway, starting out with George Soros. Why, I read his op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. I'm not going to quote from it, okay? But what I got out of it was that he did not do anything wrong. And he did not do anything wrong. And in the final analysis, it was the voters of that particular city that voted the people that he backed.
I gotcha.
So really, all we have to blame for all the awful chaos in the city are the voters of that city. And if that's what they wanted, I guess that's what they did.
Well, and that's a good point. I think you get that in New York. You know, you talk about the DA up there or the mayor in Philadelphia who's been reelected. So, you know, people must know that this is what these mayors are going to do. So, yeah, I agree with you. You get who you get, no matter who's been supporting them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, also here, we were talking about, like, the abortion pills. Well, doesn't the Constitution, as it was interpreted by the Supreme Court, say that each state shall make laws relative to abortion? So if one state wants to outlaw whatever, they can do it in that state, but they have no jurisdiction anywhere else. Isn't that right?
Yep, that's
right.
Okay, so the judges that are going all around the horn, to say to speak, why, they really have no value whatsoever. It is what it is in that state, and I'm sure that's the way the Supreme Court will rule on it. They have to.
Right, and I think one of the drug companies, like Rite Aid or a different one, I forget who it was, they decided they would stop selling it altogether because they operate stores in the states where it's banned. And so they decided to stop selling it everywhere rather than sort of have, you know, intrastate shipments. I guess they want to ship it out to everybody else at the same time, you know, without worrying about where it was. And, of course, California was one of the places that lost the opportunity to sell it. So the governor there had a meltdown and said he was going to sue him and every other thing.
Yeah, that makes sense there. Well, one of the pro-life organizations that I belong to, we have these little feet pins, okay?
And what the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation.
Yeah.
I have a set given to me by Fred Keller.
Really? Well, I was going to give you a set. Do you know what age baby that approximates the size of?
Oh, I do not remember. I'm sure I knew. Probably 20-some weeks, maybe?
10 weeks.
10, okay. Wow, super
that
small.
That is a 10-week. And so when you're talking about that abortion pill, why, there's little feet that are being sent out the chute, that's for sure. And if you could see some of the, what the baby looks like at 8 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever, heartbeat you can pick up and all this, it's murder, no two ways about it. On another note here, okay?
A happier note, I hope.
How many notes do you have?
Okay.
We can have a couple.
We have several studies that debunks the claims of alcohol's benefits. There are none. All they can find now is things that detract for your health. They take every study that was ever done, and the way it was flawed, and the ones that worked and the ones that didn't, even in Canada. And they're finding out that this is what it is. It is a poison, and nothing good really ever comes of it. I thought that was rather unique, you know?
So all those heart benefits and sleep benefits and other things, a glass of red wine, false, debunked, no go?
No, because, see, the people that are moderate with alcohol are also moderate with everything else and take care of themselves.
I gotcha. So they just tend to be healthier anyway.
Cause, what is it? anyway, not the causation that they think is the causation, it really is not.
Gotcha.
Circumstances and causation.
Well, let me tell you that some people disagree with you. Moderate alcohol consumption may provide health benefits, such as reducing your risk of developing and dying of heart disease, possibly reducing your risk of ischemic stroke, possibly reducing your risk of diabetes.
Debunked.
That's from the Mayo Clinic. Yeah, well, yeah, the Mayo Clinic, they're a bunch of quacks out there.
Quacks.
Quack, quack.
Well, this is new research. Maybe Mayo hasn't had a chance to read it yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this appeared in the Wall Street Journal, and they have a whole bunch of different studies.
Well,
really
let me
done.
See.
So
we have a subscription to that.
On health issues, who shall I believe, the Wall Street Journal or the Mayo Clinic?
Joe.
Well, go ahead, you know, fry your liver if you want to.
Be real.
There's so many people that I know that died from this stuff. I could name 25. You know,
I can name 25 people who died from being shot by guns. What's that prove?
What?
You could.
You know 25 people.
I said I could name them. I didn't say I knew them.
Oh, let's hear this. Name one person shot by a gun.
I knew these people.
Hmm?
I really did. Worked for them for years. Watched them just go straight down the chute with this stuff. So, anyway.
The chute's a busy place.
The chute is a busy place.
All right, we got you, Lance. Thank you so much for calling
in. Thanks, Lance. Take care, buddy.
You bet.
Appreciate that.
Yep.
Yeah, science is marching on. I called up the Wall Street Journal, so we'll look up that momentarily. Okay, Mike, stand by. You are next right after the break, but we'll take more comers. 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And Joe looked it up. There's no text messages at the moment.
Well, I haven't looked recently.
Okay, well, look it up again. 70236, keyword OTM.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Lucy was his wife, by the way.
This is what happens when I quiz Joe. I quiz Joe based on a CBS article that said
which
the wife
was terribly wrong.
Right, the wife. So I quizzed him who was president in 1878, and he told me Rutherford B. Hayes, but the CBS says President James Madison started it in 1878.
And James Madison was long dead.
All right. Our good listener, Lance, as always.
As a matter of fact, he died in 1836.
So he was long gone, but
right.
This would be one rotten egg by the time you roll it across
but
the White
But he left
House.
A will and testament sent for Rutherford B. Hayes saying, start an egg roll, will you?
In my name. Right. And tell CBS nearly 100-some years later.
Right.
All right. Wall Street Journal. Lance was 100% right. Wall Street Journal reports on April 1st that in the Journal of JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, researchers set out to make sense of years of conflicting evidence on alcohol's effect on health. Some research suggested that drinking alcohol improves life expectancy. Other studies had the opposite outcome. So the researchers analyzed 107 studies on the effect of alcohol on nearly 5 million people and found no amount of alcohol consumption led to longer life than people who don't drink. People who drank 45 grams of alcohol or more a day, about 3 glasses of wine, increased their risk of dying sooner by up to a third. Among women, it was just 25 grams of alcohol.
How many ounces is that?
Ounces, 45 grams. I would say 45 grams, maybe 10 grams to an ounce.
We don't measure that way here in this country. I'd like to know how many ounces of wine it would take at that rate.
Okay, Google. 45 grams is how many ounces?
45 grams is 1.587 ounces.
That's not much.
No, that's a shot glass is an ounce and a half, right?
Three glasses of wine. Now, come on. You couldn't get three glasses of wine. The alcohol content of wine is heavier than beer in most instances. It's
right. It's like 12%
That's screwed up somehow.
Okay. So anyway, Journal of the American
Saint
Medical
Paul,
Association.
You don't believe St. Paul? He said, a little wine for thy stomach's sake.
Okay. No wonder there's a statue of St. Paul. It's your church.
We like wine.
Okay. I have the right church, right? Don't you have a St. Paul statue?
St.
Paul. Oh, jeez. Yeah, it starts with a P. Okay.
Most things do.
Same saint.
Mike, you're on the mark.
Talk.
I love all these studies that come out. You know, how many times in our life have they said this is bad for you? Then they change it to this is good for you. Then further research says it's bad for you. I mean, it's just one after another.
Every day.
And as far as, pardon me?
Every day. There's conflicting studies.
As far as I'm concerned, unless it's a long-term, you know, controlled study with control groups, uncontrolled groups, all that stuff, I'm not going to put that much faith in it.
Did you hear the one that came out the other week? And this one really blew my mind, that picking your nose can lead to Alzheimer's.
Oh, my gosh. I'm done then.
Who in the world ever thought of studying something like that?
Can you imagine that? We're going to have mothers telling their little kids, stop picking your nose, you're going to get Alzheimer's. Oh, Lordy. And the kid, what? Hey, anyway, listen, we have four children, but only one of them made it home yesterday. And essentially, he was the prodigal son, made it home. And it was an enjoyable day for me. The first thing we did was we watched an episode of Full Measure. I've mentioned that show before. It's Charlotte Atkinson's show. It's a half hour, like a newsy type show. And she had spyware put on her computer by the Obama administration at one point in time. So that makes her a hero in my book. But anyway, she had a segment where a professor from England, one of the universities over there, was talking about peak woke. And he said, we are only seeing the beginning of the woke movement. And so my son and I, we watched that, and at the end we started discussing it. And I said, Brian, I said, this really kind of terrifies me, because I talked about four recent events that were in the news: Stanford, Princeton, NYU, and San Francisco State University. All of them involve some type of violence during the protest, okay? Maybe not physical violence, but other types of violence. That, you know, anybody on the left, if it happened to them, they would coin it violence. They were all not only legitimized, but they were backed by the administrations of those universities in one way, shape, or form. So my son, he stops. He says, boy, Dad, that reminds me of a saying by G.K. Chesterton, if I remember the name correctly. And I'll probably paraphrase it, but he said, Chesterton said, they don't know what they are doing because they don't know what they are undoing. And me being kind of stupid, he had to explain it to me. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is what my son said was, they are normal, changing the norms, changing the culture, little by little by little, where things that used to not be accepted are becoming normalized. And I think that's what we're seeing. And this professor basically said that the left has all the media on their side. They're winning at the ballot box. And in summation, I'm going to say this. I believe that this culture of the United States is on an insidious downward spiral. And it's been said in the past, and the saying is, we correct. Okay, you know, the pendulum swings one way and we correct, and it swings the other way. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes when the pendulum swings too far one way, the string breaks and it spins out of control. And I'm afraid that either that's going to happen, or we're going to face a real crisis and we're still going to be divided and not have the fiber to respond to that crisis. And that's all I'm saying. I say this almost every time I call. I believe, now the people that are the fundamental Christians, they're saying it's inevitable, it's going to happen, everything's in play. People like myself, not necessarily taking that stance, although I do believe it. I'm just saying, we as a people need to wake up and see what we're undoing in our society. And this professor, the last thing I'm going to say, is the professor said the biggest trend is how these changes are being accepted across the age groups. You know, people like myself were concerned. People younger than me are less concerned. Once you get down into the college age and younger, these changes are widely accepted. In other words, the norms of violence is being to protest something is being accepted. So that's really
what is
my point here.
What is woke in this usage?
Yeah,
what's
I'm not
it
sure
referring
I understand
to?
That either.
Okay, woke. Okay, so okay, let's see at Princeton, I believe it was in Princeton. There was a group of kids that got invited down to Washington. These were students there that were maybe a club, I think, invited down to Washington to go to either a congressman or senator's office and see how things were. And this particular congressman was a conservative, okay? So someone took a picture in the group, and it got posted on Facebook or some social media site. And then subsequently, at a later time, it was seen by the people on the left that believed in leftism and wokeism and all that. And they put up a big fuss, and they created a disturbance that normally people would be in trouble for if you got out of control like that.
What is wokeism?
Wokeism is the acceptance of all of these cultural changes that go against the current norms. And again, I'm not against changing norms, but if you're going to change norms by using violence, like locking someone into a closet for 3 hours so they can't give a speech, being against what do they call that when you change from one sex to another?
Transgenderism.
If you're going to lock somebody that's scheduled to give a speech in a closet so they can't give it because they want to talk about...
Okay, I think when Ron DeSantis talks about wokeism, he doesn't talk about kidnapping or taking pictures and misrepresenting them on social media. He's talking about women's choice to choose to have an abortion, reproductive health. He's talking about he doesn't want people to use medical marijuana or recreational marijuana. He doesn't want... he wants to make sure that the context of black history is altered so that it matches the political ideologies of conservatives and you know, that there would be no element of in their liberal ideology in there. That's what wokeism is to him. Now, I understand that you have a different definition, and that's fine. It's sort of a moving target. But remember, wokeism is getting rid of some old institutions that might be worth getting rid of. For example, racism. People said it was terrible that, you know, you wouldn't want to keep a slave as a human being. As a slave, you know, they said, well, remember, if you're going to bring in a new system where blacks have rights, remember what you're getting rid of. You know, you're going to have to plow your own field or work your own crops. So there are some U.S. institutions that are worth getting rid of. I think wokeism is working to do that.
Wow.
Well, yeah, that's your, is right. That's your definition of wokeism. But when you are willing to accept violence for your cause.
That has nothing to do with progressives.
Pardon me?
That does not have anything to do with any progressive ideologies. Obviously, individuals in this country are violent sometimes, but that doesn't have anything to do with progressive ideology.
It doesn't?
What is it? When you have a police force told to stand down during riots, what is that? That's wokeism.
You mean on January 6th? I don't think the police were ever told to stand down. They were overwhelmed. And that was mostly conservatives, anyway.
I'm talking about the 2020 election cycle, riot after riot we had. And on January 6th, I mean, let's face it, we don't really know the real story about January 6th. We don't.
We don't.
Somebody does.
Joe, come on, you know. Joe and I know, but we're not telling.
The truth of the matter is, it's widely accepted that there were, what do you call it, informants within these groups
Right. Yeah, that's how they caught the Gretchen Whitmer killers with an informant in their group. All right, we got to hit the road, Mike. Food for thought, for sure. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Take care.
Really, really appreciate it. All right, now we got to take another quick break, and then we are going to finally find out who started the Easter egg roll when we come back. All right, on the topic of Miss Pristone, lower right-hand corner, Joe, that's a text.
Says, so far, you've had four men deciding what a woman can do with her body. Man, I wish you men could get pregnant.
All right.
Well, according to some people, they can.
Oh, okay. And then in the middle field, there's an email.
Says, Tom says, geez, I thought the Republicans were for less government. Guess not, Stan.
Oh, yeah. Stan said that it would be okay to regulate over-the-counter Miss Pristone. So I guess that's a regulation, although these things are pretty heavily regulated anyway. Okay, Joseph from Milton, PA. Oh, yes, the egg roll president. Well, who is that?
Hey, yes. Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. Joe said this morning earlier, quote, standing up for your beliefs is always good. Joe, I agree in this respect to what you said. If your beliefs are truthful and right, that is always good to stand up for your belief, but many have stood up for their beliefs who were totally wrong.
Well.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, now get back to the Easter roll, the egg roll. Of course, that came in when, according to Alexander Heslop, two Babylons, and not only that, but the Bible itself, Schofield's reference Bible, says that it came
from
goddess Astarte, that a great egg fell from heaven into the river Euphrates. The fish pushed it up on the shore, and doves sit on it and hatched it out, and out came Astarte, which we call Easter in the English language, okay?
Oh, well, that's not the way I heard it.
Well, it's a fact. If you check history, you'll find it is.
Actually, I was checking it before we came on the air, and the first reference to the Easter Bunny was in 1648 in a German book.
I didn't say Easter Bunny.
Well,
I'm
let me finish.
Let
me finish.
The egg itself. Yeah, go ahead.
It was actually a part of a pagan celebration of the goddess
Astarte.
No, it wasn't Astarte. It had
In the Bible, it says Astarte.
Well, in the Wikipedia, it doesn't. But it says that she was a goddess of fertility of both crops and humans, and that the symbols were the hare and the egg.
Yeah, I understand that. That's true. But here's my point.
But so what's the problem?
It was a pagan festival. Am
so?
I correct?
But what we have a lot
no,
of things.
Wait, Joe. Let me explain.
Okay.
Paganism is demonic worship. They were demons. They were demonically inspired people that worshiped different gods and goddesses. Of course, we know that. There's only one true mighty one. That's Yahweh and his son, Yahshua, the Messiah. Right?
All right, but
and,
so we
and
don't.
All others are pagan deities.
You ask,
they are demonic.
You ask
so
anybody,
why would we,
Joseph, you ask anybody what the meaning of Easter is, and I guarantee you nobody's going to refer to that.
Oh, well, yes, I know that. You're right, because they're ignorant. They don't understand it. That's all. And that's a fact. But the facts of the matter
so
are.
So it's incumbent upon.
It's not biblical. It is come from demonic sources. That's what I'm trying to say. So here's my point. As to you Christians, Easter, quote, is the most holiest day in the Christian calendar. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Now, why would you associate that with a pagan fertility goddess, Ashtar?
But we don't. We associate
it. You don't in your minds. I understand that. But what you are doing is perpetuating ancient pagan demonic rites.
No, it's not.
It's worship. It is worship.
It is not.
But it's what they did to their gods.
No
that's
one.
That's the means and methods and the way that they serve their gods. And our Heavenly Father says in the Bible, don't serve me the way the pagans serve their gods.
All right, we got you.
No one is celebrating the pagan goddess of fertility.
By the way, did you get my manifesto?
Yes, I have your manifesto.
Did you read it?
I read part of it.
Well, check it out. Carefully, Joe.
Well, that doesn't mean you're right.
They're facts.
I could write
facts, Joe.
How about my manifesto? Have you read mine?
Well, send it to me.
All right, I will.
Yeah, good. That's facts, what I'm sending you.
Here we go. All right, thank you, man.
It's the mother of harlots.
Yeah, mother of harlots and that giant egg right with the whatever.
One of her daughters.
Okay.
All right, we got you, buddy.
You're
thank
one
you,
of
sir.
Her daughters. I'm the great whore herself.
All right, we got. He hung up. All right, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com and text us at 70236. We got one call coming in, but two are waiting. Dan is next from New Berlin, PA.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I concur there with Mike. You know, if you don't watch a lot of TV, which I don't watch a lot, but one program you should listen to watch is Full Measure. They inform you without no bias. And much, much appreciated program. And if I'm not here, I record it, set my machine every week to record it. But it's a worthwhile program. And you guys were talking about, why do we have one judge believing this, one judge wants this? It's because the judge system has no absolutes. You have judges on one side that do believe in absolutes, judge on the other side that believes in humanism, secular humanism. And you're never going to get consensus till we get back to a biblical principle of absolutes. And the only place you're going to find absolutes is in the Holy Scriptures. And at one time, we were more aligned with Scripture, but the time goes on, as our friend Mike said, the more woke we become. So now you have one side wokeism, you have one side with absolutes.
So if you're not Christian, you're woke, right?
Well, even unfortunately, and I hate to say this, but I have, put it this way, close acquaintances that claim they're Christian, but they're woke. They're not the true Christian. They're wokes. They believe in no. They don't have no absolutes. They
yeah, we're
going to
write this down.
Yeah, they
be
have the Bible hanging there. Mostly, they don't use it and don't believe it. So they're as bad off as someone completely secular, because they're completely secular and they're basing everything on humanism.
So woke
hey,
is
I feel
not,
this way.
So woke is not just
feel,
non-Christian.
Yep.
It's woke is secular, not
yep,
just
and,
non-Christian.
And Christian,
I got
just
you.
Because you have the name plastered over your church Christian does not mean that you have any much to do with the Scripture.
Yeah, you're one of the As daughters.
You know, you're involved in this. You know what I'm saying. There's churches out there that have absolutes. They believe in the absolute truth of Scriptures. Others question the absolutes. So
okay.
Even in that field, you have a difference.
What else?
Let alone the secular law system that we have, where it's a, you know, you have your judges, like you said,
mm-hmm.
they're for abortion, they won't put no limits on it, and you have other ones with absolutes that say that life begins at conception.
Should we stone, Dan, should we stone people to death anymore? That's biblical.
What? Not today it isn't. That was Old Testament. That was Jewish law. That was Jewish law back in the day, but we're no longer under the Jewish law of the that time. That's long been gone. Once the Jews would not accept the kingdom, that's all done away with.
All right, we got you.
Know, and oh. It's unfortunate that we're in that time, and it will not get any better till we have a spiritual renewal but the Holy Scripture as our guidebook, and we come back to.
All right, we got you. All right, thank you so much, Dan. Thank you for calling.
Take care. Have a good one.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah,
all right, we got two callers standing by so far. Our woke definition is woke individuals are violent, non-Christian, or secular, and they're fighting old traditions like slavery. Okay. So far, so good. I would say...
You said this would be helpful. You wrote it down, right?
I wouldn't want to be woke. No
you are. That's the problem.
I'm not violent. I am Christian.
You carry your gun.
And I do fight against slavery. So, hey, I'm unwoke. The great unwoke.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
James Madison.
No, the rock and roll guy. I can picture him.
Well, ask Rob.
Fabulous lives.
Rob, who is this?
You really want to know?
I don't.
No, I'm going to think of it, and then I'll tell you a little bit later on. Okay. Don't say it yet. Okay.
Bob
Seger. Yes, he thumbs right. up. Okay.
Steve from Garfield, New Jersey. You're on the mark.
Hey, good show again this morning, and... I have some fun things that I've heard in the past weekend or past week. Just those fun things I hear, like in news, new things that are coming out. This is really cool. I don't understand it. I don't think this could possibly work. I heard I don't know who's making it, but I think a commercial jet, the fastest jet that I think it's for commercial use. The speed of the jet is 9 Mach.
Wow.
Now, how in the world could that... Would you even get on something? I would even want to look at it.
It must go up into the upper atmosphere, or even in space.
It has to. 9 times the speed of sound. That's crazy. And then the other one I heard, this is cool, this would be a collector, this is going to be worth a lot of money even to buy it new. Dodge, I think it's a pickup, maybe it's a car. The last fossil fuel, the last gas powered that they're putting them out this year, they're 8-cylinder, 1,025 horsepower.
Wow.
And guess how much the asking price is?
I give it.
It's high.
$1 million.
How much?
$1 million?
Yeah, not that much, but no, it's actually 100. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think it's 195,000.
Hmm.
A lot of money.
Well, in Dubai, they have cars made out of gold and silver, so they'd be expensive, too.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
They have these expensive paint jobs that cost over $100,000 on their own.
I'll tell you what, an old car I'd like to say, I can't drive because I don't have good enough eyesight, but one car I'd like to have if I had the money to buy would be like a 1917 to early 30s, a Stutz Bearcat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
They were the cat's pajamas.
You had me at Mach 9. One of our good listeners says that's over 6,000 miles an hour. So
wow.
It would take you from Sunbury, it would take you 45 minutes to get to Hawaii.
Wow. Oh, my God.
That's like it takes
crazy.
Longer to drive to Harrisburg.
Yeah, it does. Okay.
So, all right, we got you, Steve. Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in. Good.
Appreciate your observation, sir.
Yeah,
Take care.
Mach 9 is about 6,700 miles an hour. Joe doesn't even go that fast. Van, you're on the mark. You get exactly 60 seconds. Go.
All right, start timing. Whoever emailed in there about, like, it invalidates a man because he speaks out against abortion. Well, men are able to speak on moral issues, and it doesn't invalidate the truth behind it that abortion is murder.
Oh, I
and
gotcha.
As far as the woke, like, there's members up in Ontario, the legislature up there wants to pass a bill that would make it illegal for people to speak out against these drag queen people, these LGBTQ people, and that they would have a safety zone around those people. And if they get within that safety zone, they'll be arrested and fined up to $25,000.
Okay,
I must have missed that.
Yeah, and what is the actual rule? So there are, woke people are against free speech, I guess, is the bottom line, right?
Well, that's obviously they don't want them within a certain distance of themselves because they want to be able to have these drag queen story time and
right.
Corrupted children. So
perfect.
And it was Budweiser too. They put a trans woman on a Budweiser advertisement to normalize that kind of stuff. And the funny thing is, up in Canada, there was a man that went ahead and he entered a competition for women's weightlifting, and he destroyed the record up there.
All right, we got to hit the road. Thank you, sir.
Man got upset.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
I've seen that Anheuser-Busch thing. It has apparently cost them quite a bit
of momentum in their publicity. All right, one more letter remains, Joe.
Says, good morning, fellas. I'm beginning to wonder why I ever listen to your show anymore. It all seems to be people complaining over one side versus the other side and topics that, to be honest with you, really have nothing to do with our everyday lives here in the Valley. I wish there was more constructive conversations on subjects that we are dealing with right here every day. Employment, education, fire and police protection, etc. And I wish people on the left and the right would come more towards the center and agree that, okay, I'm not going to get everything I want, and they are not going to get everything that they want, but we can compromise and get something done in the middle. This constant yelling and screaming back and forth and calling each other names is getting us nowhere. Just my two cents, but I would like to have more civilized conversation on your show about subjects that directly affect the people here in the central Susquehanna Valley. Actually, everything we discuss directly affects people here in the central Susquehanna Valley. Everything impacts on your life. I mean, let's face it, as a law passes in Washington, maybe it doesn't impact you that someone's taking away women's reproductive rights, but it affects women here in the Valley.
Well, and people pick the topics.
Yeah,
Joe and
they
do bring in certain guests to talk about certain things, and we will take your observation to heart that maybe we need to talk about more of those other topics. Absolutely.
Well, what's to discuss if I said, I believe we should have good education. Who's going to call in and say, nope, we need bad education?
Well, but what is good education? You have, you know, Governor
DeSantis. And we talk
DeSantis.
About that all the time on this show.
Right. We have Governor DeSantis, who says that education's got to be through a conservative filter. And, you know, and that many of the books that he's finding in Florida don't fit that.
And talking about fire protection, I guess one of the things we could talk about is the need for more volunteers. But the state is addressing those issues with programs to try and increase volunteerism.
Well, I mean, municipalities have as well. For example, in Bloomsburg, the town mandated that the three or four fire companies consolidate and then help them build one fire hall and help come up with a system to pay for drivers.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So, and of course, in Sunbury, you have paid ambulance now. Thank you, Americus.
Yep.
So we appreciate that.
All right. Well, we're out of here.
Should have any paid staff yet at the fire company?
No.
Okay, not yet. All right. To be continued. Thank you, everybody, for participating, and thank you for the email. I believe it was signed down at the bottom. Yeah, Ron. Thank you, sir. This is WKOK Sunbury.